Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who washes our sins away white as snow. God's word to us tonight gives us a choice. And the choice he wants us to choose is to choose life. Thanks to Brian for helping us to get started with that. How many choices have you made today? It might be a little easier if I was asking you tomorrow morning, because you probably wouldn't have made quite as many choices, but just think about that. Everything that you do, every time that you turn around, you've been making a choice. And you could do one thing or another. Some of those choices are more significant than others. Eating pancakes or cereal for, or I guess it was a waffle, wasn't it? Eating a waffle or cereal for breakfast isn't quite that important. I mean, they're both good, but some decisions are much more important than others. We're used to choices, aren't we? We're used to having the choice even of waffles or cereal for breakfast. We're used to having lots of choices, but it hasn't always been that way. Back in the 1920s, when Henry Ford started making cars, he had a famous way of talking, and he said, "Any customer can have a car painted any color that he wants, as long as it's black." A choice, but it's the only choice that you have, and it's going to be black. We would never put up with that today. We want to have plenty of choices. We live in a society that has lots and lots of choices. What if you'd walk into a restaurant and they brought you the menu and there was one thing on the menu? What would you like? Mac and cheese or mac and cheese? Well, you'd still have a choice, wouldn't you? You could stay and you could order the mac and cheese, or you could leave and go to another restaurant. My hunch is we probably wouldn't come back to that restaurant again, would we? Because we want choices. We want to have lots of choices. We go to the superstores because the superstores have clothing in them and have flowers in them and have the post office and has everything else in addition to our groceries. We love to have lots and lots of choices. Now, some choices are minor. I get a cut on my finger and I'll put a Band-Aid on it. But if all of a sudden I severed one of my arteries in my arm, I might want a tourniquet rather than a Band-Aid. Difference, isn't it? It might be that I've got a headache, so I go home and take an aspirin and go to bed. But if all of a sudden I start feeling pains in my chest and I can't breathe, I maybe want to have the hospital and CPR going on. You understand, some choices are minor. Some choices are major. God's word speaks to us tonight about a major choice. Moses has been speaking to his people, and it's the second generation now. It's Deuteronomy. It's the second generation, and he's saying to the second generation, "I'm about ready to die, and so I'm giving to you these final words." And these final words are most important. And so he talked to them about the Ten Commandments, and he talked to them about all of God's words and all of God's law that was there. And then he said to them, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you." That's pretty strong witnesses. Heaven and earth. "I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you. I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. Choose life so that you and your children may live, so that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life." Brian mentioned that's an easy answer. Choose life or choose death? Of course I'm going to choose life. But what does that mean, to choose life? Choosing life doesn't mean necessarily that we can choose our way. But choosing life means choosing it's God's way. And God says three things to us about what it means to choose life. The first thing he says is choosing life means to love the Lord your God. And then he says to choose life means that you will walk in his ways. And the third way of choosing life means that you will keep his commands and his decrees and laws. Now, loving the Lord our God, Valentine's Day is coming up, right? And I've already seen the Valentine's boxes in the school rooms and so on. And I remember when I was in school, I wrote, "I love you" on every one of those Valentines, and I put it in every one of those boxes. Well, that's not the kind of love that God is talking about here. God is talking about a very, very special kind of love, a love of devotion, a love of uniqueness. It's like a marriage love. It's a husband and wife kind of a love. It's a love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, loving God in that way. Do we always choose to love God first? Oftentimes it's that we love ourselves. And then the next thing, all right, don't be helping me out back there, thanks, Grant. All right, I got it. Thank you. Can you take Jesus off of there? What a thing to say at a sermon. Take Jesus off. We're going to get to him. The second one is, after loving God, then to walk in his ways. Any 2-year-old or 3-year-olds in here? Walk in mom and dad's ways? No, I do it myself. Any 50, 60-year-olds here? We don't always walk in God's ways, do we? And so choosing life means loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and doing his will and walking his ways and not the way that we want. Now we get Jesus in here. And so what it says is choosing life, love the Lord, walk in his ways, keep his commands, his decrees, and his laws. How very important that is as we do what Jesus would have us to do. Grant, I am going to need your help now. Thank you. Now we got Jesus there. Loving the Lord our God and having Jesus there in our hearts, how very significant that is. And what that means is how interesting that in the epistle reading for tonight, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the folks in Corinth didn't choose life. They said, "I choose Paul." And the other one says, "I choose Apollos." And another one says, "I choose Christ." They were choosing different ones. And what does Paul say to them? No. Don't go choosing those people, but do everything following Jesus Christ. Choose Jesus and Jesus Christ and follow him, not some preacher or some other earthly person who is here. Jesus, too, says, "You have heard that it was said." He was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He was talking to the disciples who knew the Ten Commandments. They knew what those Ten Commandments were, but they had watered them down. They had softened them. They had misinterpreted them. And so Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, the gospel reading for today, he says, "You have heard that it was said, don't commit adultery, but I say unto you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has committed adultery with her in his heart. You have heard that it was said, you shall not kill, but I say to you that if you've ever been angry with your brother, or if you've ever said other words that are harmful for your brother, you have murdered your brother." Jesus says 4 times, "You have heard that it was said, but I say unto you." Jesus' words. Jesus' words, not our words. Jesus' words, not our interpretation of Jesus' words. How very significant that is. And then he says, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. He's just saying how important it is to listen to Jesus' words and not to follow our words, to choose life instead of to choose death. Jesus uses that hyperbole to get our attention and to help us to understand how very important it is to walk in Jesus' way. Tonight, as Jesus speaks to us, and he says, "I give you a choice. Choose life." Jesus does what we can't do. Jesus comes and changes our hearts. Jesus comes and washes our hearts clean. I'm so glad that Nicholas and Kenley were baptized tonight because mom and dad and grandma and grandpa made a choice. You chose to bring them to baptism. You chose and you said, "I'm going to make sure that Nicholas and Kenley know about Jesus as they grow up," and so on. What a choice to make. A choice that God comes and works that faith in our hearts. We all made those choices too. We all made that promise at the baptism of our children. And we also promise as baptisms happen that we're going to help them to do that too. That's the choosing life. That's the whole thing of choose life. Create in me that clean heart as Jesus does, so that now it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Choosing life means Jesus living in our hearts and in our lives. Jesus as the one and only Savior. So with Old Testament Joshua, he gives that challenge. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. And then he says, as for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord. Choosing life, choosing Jesus in his precious name. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep our hearts and our minds centered in Christ Jesus, choosing life unto life everlasting. Amen.